Good morning. In Matthew 5 through 7, we have recorded Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. At least 10 times in chapters 5 and 6, Jesus makes the statement, "I say unto thee." In Matthew 5, in verse 21, "You have heard this been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." In verse 27 of that same chapter, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." In verse 31, "It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." In verse 33, "You have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." In verse 38 we read, "You have heard that it has been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." Then in verse 43, "You have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." At the end of the sermon, the record tells us that the people were astonished at his doctrine. Listen to chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." You see, the scribes' authority rested on the quotes of rabbis and some other teachers, but Christ did not, for all authority in matters of religion was given him by the Father in heaven. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him up on the mount and was transfigured? Moses and Elijah appeared, and Peter, not knowing what to say for fear, said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." In Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, Peter quotes Deuteronomy 18:15-19. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, in him shall ye hear all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." He was speaking of Christ. Paul writes in the Ephesian letter, chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, "And he hath put all things under his feet," speaking of Christ, "and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Again in Colossians 1:18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Jesus has all authority in the church, his kingdom, and no one else. No council, no synod, pope, or any single man or group of men have the right to take the authority away from him. The Hebrews of the first century wanted to return to the old ways, the law of Moses. But the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, 1 and 2 reminds them, "The God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds." Jesus' final instructions to his apostles is found in Matthew 28:18-20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Jesus Christ placed that authority in the words that he spoke. In John chapter 12 and verse 48 through 50, he said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. We'll not be judged by opinions. We'll not be judged by feelings or our thoughts, our beliefs, or our pastor or preacher, a church or a manual or a catechism or a creed. We will be judged by the words that Jesus spoke. That all authoritative word was given to his apostles by Jesus and by the Holy Spirit after he left. Jesus gave it to them. Listen to that great prayer of our Lord in John chapter 17. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 8. Then in verse 14 we read, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 18. The Holy Spirit gave them the rest. Jesus made it plain to his apostles that if he did not go, the Comforter would not come. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. John 16, verse 7. In John 14, verse 25 and 26, These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Then in John 16:13, Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21, Peter writes, Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Holy Spirit was to give them. He was to give them all things that Jesus spoke. He was to give them all truth and all things coming. In turn, the apostles were to preach it. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Then the apostles also had the responsibility of writing it down. Jude 3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Friends, that all authoritative word is all sufficient, all that we need today in order to know God's will for us in our lives. In John 16 and verse 13, Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Then in John 20, verse 30 and 31, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Peter writes in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 3, According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Nearly 2,000 years ago, everything that pertains to life and godliness was given to mankind. Any so-called revelation that has come since then does not pertain to life and godliness, Therefore, it's not needed for us and our salvation and our knowledge to know God. In Jude 3, again, we read, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, now listen, friends, which was once delivered unto the saints. Friends, there is no continual revelation. All authoritative word that Jesus gave in the first century will never pass away. In John 12 and verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus says, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Then in 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25, Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which is by the gospel is preached unto you. Friends, we want you to know the truth. We want you to understand it and obey it. If there's any way we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.